who were being saved. You may be seated.
Blessing to be able to be here on the Lord's Day, and wish you a happy 4th of July. And I know that some of you are maybe traveling or being with friends and family, and hope that's a great week for you. And certainly would invite everyone to come and be a part of our celebration here on Tuesday night. And so we'll be celebrating in traditional American way with hamburgers and hot dogs and watching the city fireworks. And so it's always a good time each year. And if you've never been to that, make sure you know that you're welcome to come and participate in it. Might want to bring a lawn chair to help enjoy watching those fireworks and things. It's great to be able to fellowship together. Our word of the week is fellowship. And so we're doing these terms related to the church. We've been talking about the church, talking about this idea this week of fellowship and what it means to exist together in the church. This little girl named Natalie, who was dying of cancer. She lived in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, and she actually did pass in November of 2014. But she was given an opportunity, as so many children are that are afflicted with that disease and are dying from that, with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And you know, so many of those kids will do neat things when they're able to make a wish, and maybe it's meeting with a celebrity or going to Disney World or going someplace that they've never been. But little Natalie did something very unique. She said, "My wish is to give people soup and blankets." She wanted to help the people who were hungry and who were cold at night. And so Make-A-Wish Foundation, however much money they spend, they use that money to purchase food and blankets. And it said that countless people were helped in the Cincinnati and Louisville area because of this little girl's Make-A-Wish. When they asked her, "Why do you want to do this? Why didn't you want to do something for yourself?" She said, "It just makes me feel good to help other people." When we think about fellowship, that's kind of this deep religious word maybe, you know, that we don't know. And we think, you know, yeah, what fellowship means to me is a good meal with a lot of dishes. But really, you know, when we think about it biblically speaking, and it's used in the Bible, what I want you to understand is that, and really when you get to that meal with all the dishes, that's really, and how that came to be is because fellowship is about sharing. Joint participation, sharing, common union, all those are terms that define this Greek term that is used for fellowship. It's when we are able to share. So this morning, I want us to think about this basic term of sharing and how it makes us feel good, like little Natalie, when we share with others, and how God created us to share. If you think about your life, when you live your life in your family and with your friends and in your community and with the church, you're constantly sharing. Most of you are probably sharing a home. You share your food. You're sharing our roads. We're sharing in our city. We share parks, and we share, as a church, we share this church building, and we share our classrooms, and we share in a fellowship meal, and we're going to share in the joy of the fireworks together. All kinds of people will be watching them, but we're all sharing in that. So sharing is a part of what we do constantly. But when we think about spiritual fellowship, it's the spiritual things we're able to share with one another. And there's three main things that I want to emphasize that we should share because of our fellowship with one another. First thing that we should share is that we must realize that our sharing, our fellowship, is with God, Jesus, and the Spirit. That we are in a relationship with God, and what a blessing. And that you and I are not just left here abandoned on earth by ourselves, but we are able to share with God. And that may involve sharing in prayers with God. It may be involved sharing in the blessings of God, sharing in a constant walking every day with God, but we are always in fellowship with God because of our faith. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And notice in verses 1 and following how John says that we're able to share. He says that he has seen with his eyes and he's looked upon and has touched with his hands the word of life, and the life was made manifest and we've seen it. And then in verse 3 he says this, "That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us." Fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says we're writing these things so that our joy may be full. Our fellowship is always with Jesus. When you think about in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 1, when God created this world, He created Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 2, He talks all about how He created this world and to share with them. He created the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. And each of these were made for our good and for our blessing. And then He created, for man, He created woman to be in a relationship with Him because it was not good that man should be alone. And then God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden and He spent time with them. He shared with them. When you think about what it means to have fellowship, I think fellowship with God is illustrated best in this pristine relationship in the garden before there was sin. Adam and Eve were both naked. They did not feel shame. They were emotionally, physically, spiritually transparent and open before God. They were able to share in communion with God and walking with Him and talking with Him and living with Him. They were able to share in the bounty of God's blessings, the Garden of Eden, this paradise. Now you and I can't have that. Sin has entered the picture. And we live in a world that is corrupted with sin, and you and I are not naked and not ashamed. We have guilt and we have sin that causes us sometimes to have to repent and confess before God. But you see, here's the thing. That is what we should strive for. To walk in intimacy, in closeness with God, with Jesus, and with the Spirit. We have fellowship with God. And you're here this morning because you believe and you trust that it is significant to have fellowship with God. And so as you think about what all this involves, for example, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Or 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Now notice in 1 John, the Bible would say in verses 7 through 9 that not only is our fellowship in this message that we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. For if we say we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that what he's saying is that if we're going to have fellowship with God, then we must understand that our fellowship involves walking in the light. That if we're going to walk in darkness, that if we're going to live in darkness, then we're not going to be able to have a proper fellowship with God. You know, when you think about your life and you think about the relationships you have, all relationships have certain conditions and requirements. And it's significant that God says that if you want to live in a relationship with me, you have to walk in the light. Because in me is no darkness at all. Now, he doesn't say we are going to be perfect. In fact, he says you're going to sin. But here's how you deal with your sin. You confess that sin. You confess it. And you walk in the light, and his blood cleanses us from all sins. So when we think about fellowship, we must first understand that fellowship involves sharing with God, Jesus, and the Spirit. But the next thing fellowship involves is it involves sharing with others. You see, you're here this morning, and you could have done the acts God requires of us at home, but you would not have been able to meet the requirements of God because God said that he wanted us to do this in community. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he doesn't want us to neglect the meeting together. That we're supposed to come together, Acts 20, verse 7, and remember the Lord's death. That we're supposed to eat of this bread, the Lord's Supper together. It's important for us to know that, yes, we might could, and some of you, I don't know if I'd want to hear it if you were singing by yourself, but you might could sing a song by yourself. You might do that in the shower every day. I don't know. You could certainly, and we should in our individual life, pray individually before God. And you might prefer it. You might prefer to give your own self a sermon and read the Bible and those things. And you could eat of the unleavened bread and drink of the fruit of the vine by yourself. And you could drop off a check, put it in the mail. But you would miss out on what biblical and spiritual fellowship is. You see, fellowship is not individual. It really isn't possible to have the kind of fellowship God wants us to have as an individual. It is implicit that you share with God and that you share with others. And thus, the acts that God has asked us to do are so corporate or communal in nature. So we eat a meal together. We celebrate a meal together. We give to a collection that we put together, and then we do more with that collection as a whole. We offer prayers together on behalf of our needs and our requests, and we send those prayers all together up to God. And we have a proclamation, a preaching of God's truth that edifies and builds us. And then we sing to one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that teach and admonish one another. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. So fellowship is always about sharing. And let me tell you something. You might not have looked at it like this, but coming to church is not just about you. Should never be just about you. And it's not just solely about God. Yes, it is about God's glory and He's the chief aim. But coming to church is about sharing of yourself with God and sharing of yourself with others. It's about sharing. And so as we think about sharing with others, we need to understand that biblical fellowship, chapter 1, verse 7 that we just read, that our fellowship when we walk in the light is with one another. That we are in this together. And then in Acts chapter 2, Austin read this passage for us. The Bible, we understand that God's people in the beginning, that they were dedicated to fellowship. Notice several things are involved here involving their fellowship. In verses 44 through 45, you see that they are going to be involved in sharing their possessions. These believers, all who believed, were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had any need. We try, and I believe we do a good job of trying to do that here, that we want to share our blessings with one another. And that if one of our members has a need, we try to meet that need. In fact, every week we try to meet a need of someone in our congregation or in our community with our Everyone Counts program. And if you know someone that has a need, we're willing to distribute some of the goods that we've taken up this morning with them this week. We're trying to follow this passage. Give them the name of that person in writing to Jeff Hill, and that his group will make sure that we take, for every person in attendance, $1 goes to help someone in need. We try to do that every Sunday. That's what the early church did. They sought to distribute their needs to people who had needs. Now, in their context, it was a little different because they had all these people from all these foreign places. They were in Jerusalem, so there was a need in a temporary way for them to help support one another. But notice, fellowship involves not only helping with possessions, but verse 46, it involved, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. Notice that it also involves presence. We need to be close friends. We need to be friends with one another. We need to share of ourselves. That's why activities, and you can't make them all, and you don't need to feel like there's this expectation that if you got to be at everything. Now, certainly we want people to be at things, but in other words, you may be out of town this 4th of July. But I want you to know that those kind of things are great blessings for you to be involved in. And that, yeah, you may not can make all of them, but let me ask you something. If you can't make any of them, and if you're never able to be a part of our fellowship activities, you never stay for a Sunday night meal or for a Sunday afternoon potluck, then how close are you to your brethren? And what does it say about your sharing of your food and of yourself with your brethren? You see, it's about your presence. But notice also, and we're good at this one, and I love this one, it's also about your plates, because they shared their food day to day. And I don't think in this verse, I don't think it's talking about the Lord's Supper. I think it's talking about their common meals, their daily meals. They shared their food from house to house, and they had a good time with glad and generous hearts. And so we need to be willing to understand that table fellowship, for whatever reason, God has decreed that we tend to, as humans, have better fellowship over food. I guess it's just because we have a common joy of sharing in food, but so many fellowship activities in the church and in our families involve food, don't they? Guarantee you, whatever you're going to be doing the 4th of July, it's going to involve some food, right? In the church, our fellowship involves plates. But notice, finally, in this passage, we see that it also involved praise. Verse 47, praising God, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It's important for us to understand that our worship is also a part of what our fellowship is. So it's not just about our presence. It's not just about our possessions. It's not just about eating together, but it's also about singing and preaching and worship. And so our fellowship involves praise. The final thing that I want to say that we should share in, not only do we share with God and Jesus and the Spirit, not only do we share with one another, but the last thing that is talked about in the Bible that I want to point out is how we share in the work of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 1, the Bible would speak to this idea. And Paul uses this term. Now, the ESV version translates it not as fellowship, but it translates it as joint participation or partnership. Look at verse number 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership. That's the word fellowship, same term. Your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Later on in chapter 3, verse number 10, he speaks to the same idea. He says that you may know him and the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings. Sharing. In the book of Philippians, Paul will talk about how we are to share in the work of Christ, in the church at Philippi, they supported Paul throughout his ministry, throughout his work. In, for example, Lydia hosted Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 15. The jailer was a host upon Silas, Acts 16, after he was converted. Philippi sent gifts to provide for Paul when he was at Thessalonica, chapter 4, verse 16 of the book of Philippians. They sent gifts to him at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And Philippi had recently sent gifts by the hand of Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 and chapter 4. It seems that Philippi was one of Paul's main overseeing or supporting churches. They were constantly sending him money. And Paul talked about how you share in my work, in the partnership, Paul called it. It's important for us to recognize that we are to share in the work of Christ. That the work of Christ is a load not to be carried by any one person or any one family or any one group. That we have a great work to do in our community. And that a part of our fellowship, we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another, but also a part of our fellowship is God has given us a responsibility, a work, and none of us can carry that work on our own. We've got to share the load. I can't do all the work. Our elders can't do all the work. Every individual Bible class teacher should not be called upon to do all the work. We need to share that load. That's why we try to have rotating schedules. Also, there is so much benevolent work, so much kindness and love that needs to be shown to our community. We have a vacation Bible school coming up. There's a lot of work. We've got to share in that load. It might be inviting children. It might be serving as a teacher. It might be helping in all kinds of ways. It might be just your presence in the adult class. But we've got to share in the work. And so when we think about fellowship is so much more than food. Fellowship involves our joint sharing, our partnership. We link arms together and we go forward because we're in relationship with God, we're in relationship with one another, and we are in a responsibility of carrying out the work of God. You know, I want to go back to where I started. And little Natalie, she said, I wanted to do this. I wanted to do this because it makes me feel good to help others. Here's a girl that was dying, and yet the way she felt good was by helping others. You know, I think that there's a real tidbit there for us, that if we want to feel good in life, if we're struggling in our life, in our own thoughts and our focus, maybe we need to think about how we can share with others more, how we can help others more. We teach our little kids, they've got to share. And if they don't share, there's a problem, right? There's a heart problem. How good are we as adults at sharing in the church? That's what our fellowship is about. It's about sharing. If you need to respond to the gospel this morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, then please come us together as we stand and sing.